Tom, would you come on up just for a minute, man? I'm gonna let Brother Tom get us started, and he's going to share just a short testimony of something that God's been doing and teaching him in his own life, and then we're gonna open it up. We're gonna open the floor, so we're gonna have a mic here. That it's where. So, Tom, take a minute, share just a little bit part of that story, and then we're going to come down here with the microphone and may give it to Pastor Kevin or somebody. And then if you, just when you're ready, if you have something that you would like to share as a personal testimony, just to give praise and honor to the Lord for something that he's doing in your life, if you just stand up, and then we'll bring the microphone to you. The reason we'll bring the microphone is because we want to be able to have it on our recording so that we can listen to it for those who may not be here. And so just stand up and we'll bring the mic to you. But I want you to hear, I've been so encouraged to see how God's been working in Tom's life and in their family. Just a powerful story of God's faithfulness. And so brother, would you share with us?
Yeah. Morning, church family. I'm not used to doing this, so forgive me if I stutter. I just wanted to give praise and honor to Jesus Christ for what he's done in my life and my family's. And everything that Jared said about anxiety and not have the right thinking will let the devil in to just drive you, ride you like a mule with fear and anxiety. It all started, I had a urinary tract infection this past summer. And I went into the clinic to get checked out. And during that time, they gave me an exam. And they found that my prostate had an abnormal growth on it and was swollen on the one side. And I found out later on that this guy actually worked at a urologist. So he was pretty adamant that I went and see a urologist right away. So I went in, made an appointment, and went to the urologist, and she confirmed it and sent me for a PSA, which is kind of an indicator whether you have prostate cancer or not. When I got my results back, they were elevated. Went back to her, and she proceeded to give me some tough love that I was five times above what the limit would be for someone my age, that there's a very good chance I have cancer, that there's a very good chance it could metastasize within my body. So I was very distraught. That was Labor Day weekend. I pretty much spent most of that weekend crying on my wife's shoulders. I have a family. I have two boys that are in college. And I just couldn't bear to deal with letting them go through the rest of their lives alone because I already had written myself off. I spent that time after I got out of the doctor's office thinking I wasn't going to see Christmas with them, because that was the picture she painted, let alone see the graduation from college, let them get married. So that weekend, my wife spent comforting me. I went to work on Monday and Tuesday, and when I was working, I was fine because I didn't think about it. And I think men are gifted that way. When they have a problem, they can just put it in the back of their mind, and they do what they have to do. But when you're by yourself, you're your worst enemy. And when the enemy whispers in your ear, you're going to die, this is what you deserve, you're a bad person, all the things you did in life before you were saved, this is what you're getting, it's time to pay the piper for it, you start to believe it. And I was going down that road of despair. I think I reached my bottom point on Tuesday night when I was letting the dog out at night. It was about 10:30, and I just looked up in the sky. I'm like, Father, where are you? I'm so alone, I can't. I can't feel your love right now. I'm walking through something. I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave them alone. Where are you? The next day, I had some training over at the Gildas Park over in Salem. And it was in the morning. I passed in my first round, and that's a pretty big park. And I did something I never do, and I stopped off at one of the rest areas inside the park just to kind of reflect about what was going on, because it was different from being at the house, and it was a place I could just go ahead and think. And while I was there, a man that was across the awning basically started talking with me. After a few minutes of conversation, it became evident that he was a pastor of a church over in Ellison, and he was putting together something for his sermon. I think at that point, we both looked at each other and said, this is an appointment that God set up for us today, because he never usually goes there to write his sermons, and I never usually stop there. So as we were talking, he came over, because I had unburdened myself and just was telling him my biggest fears. And he came over and he said, can I pray for you? And I said, I would love that. And when this man started praying, I tell you, brothers and sisters, that it was Jesus Christ walking through him. And just I just felt as he's praying and he's talking to me about, you know, what the Bible says, you know, and how the Bible talks about having faith, but faith is just the beginning. You have to believe it. You have to have that belief and believe that he's going to be true to his promises and believe that he's going to keep true to his word. I'll tell you, those tears I cried just felt like those bricks falling off my shoulders as he's praying with me, because I know my Lord was telling me he loved me through this man and that he's got me and that he wasn't going to let me go, and that he was there for me. During that prayer, he said, do you want this cancer? And I said, no. And he rebuked it. In the name of Christ, he called it out of me. He said, you are a new man through Christ. So this cancer that has been born of the devil is not part of you, and Jesus will pull it out of you. I was so happy when I heard those words. I actually texted my wife about what had just transpired, because I was absolutely blown away. The fact that my Jesus, the day after I cry out to him in despair, would send someone, his man, to be with me and show me his love through this man was so humbling, that our Lord knows who I am. The creator of the universe and everything in it knows me and loved me enough to send his man to tell me this, to help me. So our medical system, being the great system it is, 6 weeks later, I went in for my biopsy. And during the physical exam, the doctor that was doing it, he pretty much told me, I don't feel this lump that's in your report. Your prostate is not swollen. And he showed me a picture, because they actually do an ultrasound. And he's measuring it. He's like, it's actually right perfect. It's kind of in the middle. My biopsy results came back in 2 weeks later. And praise Jesus, I'm cancer-free. And I know for a fact that I did have cancer, because these people that did the exams, this is what they do. I know I had cancer, and I know my Jesus pulled it out of me, and I know he did it because he loves me, and he loves every one of us. And one other thing I just wanted to share is, during this time, we started going to small group. We'd never been part of a small group before until we came to Hope Valley. So we started going, and I kept this in because I didn't want to burden them. Several weeks into it, it got to be too much, because I was a yo-yo. I was good some days, bad some days. And sharing with my small group the love that they had for me, the fact that they prayed over me, the fact that they came around me as a family would, is incredible. And I encourage everybody in here to find a small group, because you don't have to go through these struggles alone. God put us together as a church so that we can share each other's burdens, cry with those who cry, and laugh with those who are rejoicing. But God put us together as a family for a reason. Families don't leave each other out in the cold to do it by themselves. They do it together. And the stronger we are together, the stronger we are, the more glory we can give to Christ for bringing us together. So I just wanted to say, praise Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sparing me. And I pray that this testimony will hit somebody how you have it, Father, so that they would be able to do what you need them to do. Because God puts us through the fire, not to punish us, but to refine us. And as we come through on the other side, he has something bigger and better for us to do. And I'm anxious and excited to see what he has for me.
All right, so with that, I'll give this to you. If there's anybody else, just stand up, and we'll bring you the mic.
So I don't normally do anything like this, but I just felt like God really wanted me to talk about what he's been doing in my life for the past 2 years. So on my 22nd birthday, as it was coming about, I was so just struck with fear and anxiety, because my life was not looking how I thought that it was going to. I had these expectations about what it was supposed to look like. I was supposed to, probably be in a relationship by this point and not be living at home and be graduating with my bachelor's from college, right? And I was just finishing up my associate's degree, and I was still living at home. I had never even been on a date. And so here I was, and I was like, what is going on? What is happening in my life? Nothing is going how I thought it was going to at all. And so I had to ask God some really hard questions of, if things don't turn out the way that I want them to, and the way that I expected to, are you still good? Are you still a good God? And there was a time that I couldn't say yes to that. Because to me, if he didn't give me those things, then how was life supposed to be good? How was my life supposed to have meaning and purpose in them? At least, in a relationship, I can't imagine, living my life by myself. That was, my biggest fear. It was, doing everything on my own. And God was like, you have made an idol out of being in a relationship and these expectations you have for your life. And you have to give these things to me, because even if I do give you a relationship right now, even if I do give you all these things that you want, they're not going to be good unless I'm first in your life. And right now, I am not. I am not first. And I am tired of sharing you. And I want your whole heart. I want everything inside of you, and right now you're not giving it to me. And so I fought him and fought him and fought him of the fear of, if I give this to you, you don't have to give it to me. And he doesn't have to give that to me. And so I just got to the point where I was so scared and so fearful and had so much anxiety all the time that I was like, okay, God, I'm gonna give this to you. And even if things don't turn out the way that I want them to and the way that I thought that they were going to from the time I was 3 years old, it's okay, because I know that your plans are greater than anything that I could ever plan. And this Bible verse kept on coming up and kept on coming up. And it was, I think, Ephesians 3:20. He who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his plans and purposes. And I kept on hearing that over and over again. I was like, what does that even mean? And then I one day was reading over it again, and I was like, I understand. Whatever I have planned, whatever images I have for my life, they do not compare to anything of what you can do and what you have planned for me. And so I just have to trust you. I have to trust that if I'm single right now, if I'm living at home still, if I am not graduated, if I'm still working a part-time job and It's nothing that I've like wanted for my life. It is okay because this is where you want me right now, and you're preparing me for whatever you have next. And so I have to trust in you. And so there was one day my aunt came over, and she's had a tendency of having bad relationships over and over and over again. And so she was in this relationship, and she was happy. And she comes over to her house. I think it was for like Mother's Day or something like that. And we were having a thing for my granny. And I could just tell she was so distraught and so sad. And I was like, "What's going on? Are you okay?" And she was like, "Oh, I'm just tired." And I could tell she was just about to start crying. And so I let it go. And then I really truly believe this was God, but we were in the room by ourselves together. All the people had left out of the room. And she, like I said, she just looked like she was gonna cry. And I said, "Cindy, what's going on?" And she was like, I was like, "Are you okay?" And she was like, "Oh, Amanda." And she just starts bawling. And so I take her up to my room. And she tells me how she's in the relationship, and she feels like he's gonna leave her again, and how she just feels so unlovable. Like, here's another guy and he doesn't like her. And that she just didn't understand why these guys just kept on leaving her over and over and over again. And she's like 45 years old. And so I was just able to tell her what God was doing in my life. And to give you background on my aunt, she's very, at one point, if you mentioned the name of God, she would get red in the face. She didn't want to hear it. But I was like, okay, so we're just going to go for this. And I just told her what God was teaching me in my life, how my identity does not come from a relationship. It does not come from my job or my, you know, my education. It comes from Jesus Christ. And that he is the ultimate satisfaction. And if you keep on looking for your satisfaction in these relationships, you will always be disappointed, because they're just people and they're always going to fail you. And that he's the only thing that is truly steadfast. And so she was like, "Mandy, you're so right." And so she was just, which was surprising to me. And she was like, "I've actually been praying to God and just asking him for his help." And I was like, "Well, do you mind if I pray for you?" So I was able to pray for her. But during that time afterwards, after I was thinking back on it, I was like, "God, you saved me from being 45 years old and still looking for my satisfaction in a relationship. And I am so grateful to you, because I don't have to be like that anymore, and that you have given me freedom from these things." And it's taken a lot of time, and there's still days where I still struggle with it. But for the most part, I am so excited about whatever God has next for me. So I'm fast forward 2 years, and I'm getting ready to graduate from Radford with my bachelor's, and I'm still single, but, you know, I'm so excited about what God has planned for me. And just, I don't look into the future and think, "Wow, I'm so terrified," but I look into it like, "I am so excited, because I don't know what you have planned, but I know it's going to be an adventure, and I know it's going to be exciting, and I just pray that you will use me." And during that time, during that struggling period of my life, I felt his presence like I never had. And I would have never experienced that if he didn't shake what I had expected from my life. And so now God's put it on my heart to just kind of reach out to other young girls and women, and just tell them my experiences, because I know so many other people struggle with that. And so God's just put that desire on my heart. And but anyway, he's so good.
So I struggle to say anything, because I think, "Wow, I don't have anything found like Amanda or Tom to say, but I just want to lift up the name of Jesus because he is worthy to be praised. And I'm so thankful this past month he's been with me a lot because I've been really sick for about 5 weeks now. And I've been in the bed a lot. But the days that I needed to be up and out, he helped me through those days. And he also gave me the days that I needed to rest. And I'm just thankful for how he brought me through that and just for the general health that I have, and that he protected my family from the sickness that I had, because I'm sure the kids would have missed a lot of school for that. And I just want to praise the Lord.